Okay, let's go ahead and get started. So first we want to start with thanking you for coming here today to pick our session. We're super excited to show you some very interesting stuff, what we've been working on over the past 9 months, where we feel we're really bringing the best of two worlds together in a combined solution. So let me start by introducing myself. My name is Anders Vemmenhall, and I work for Microsoft as a program manager on the Windows Server and System Center team. And with me today, I have Patrick.
So my name is Patrick Sundqvist. I'm the CTO and founder of GridPro. We've been developing solutions on top of Service Manager for quite a while, and now we're moving into the hybrid cloud world, and that is basically what we will be touching today.
Exactly. Thank you. So if we just take a quick look at the session objectives, what we want to show here today is really how you can take how we can actually enable you to better manage your cloud using services tools from Microsoft in place today. And it really deals with being able to operate the cloud and the life cycles of those services that you provide inside a cloud and doing that from one console. And the other goal of this is also to show you how you can actually introduce things like governance and control into the clouds that you're providing to your customers. And when we say customers, it's really just your IT users or whoever consumes IT from your business. And then lastly, we also want to give some examples on how you can actually do usage on some of these scenarios where you can actually go in and do some charts back as part of your cloud as well for the operations that you're doing for people. And one thing we also want to say here is a key takeaway that because you embrace cloud and you want to move the cloud path, that doesn't necessarily mean that ITSM is not important to you anymore. So really emphasizing that ITSM is important also when you go and you embrace your cloud and embrace some of those technologies. So we want to really give you an idea of how you can address some of those challenges using the best of ITSM and using the best of cloud. And that's really what we want you to walk out of here today. So some of the challenges we have with cloud, we just listed them here. One of them, at least, if you look at once you go in there and you start consuming those services, in many cases, there's really no governance. So I can't really prove who did what when or who ordered what or who put what in to production, who created a VM, who created a database, and so on. And also, if we look at Windows Azure Pack, we can also say that there's no quick way of adding new services or change existing services once you start consuming things. So I just want to get a little bit of idea of what kind of audience we have here. How many of you have an idea of what the Windows Azure Pack is? That's almost everybody. That's awesome.
Great.
How many of you have worked or seen Service Manager and kind of know the concept around what it does? Okay. Also, I love good. Okay, that's really good. So sounds like most of you have actually good knowledge of those two products. That makes it a bit easier for us. So that's good. So if we look at some of the solutions we can actually have here for the cloud, what we want to show you here today is actually governance to the cloud, really for things that you want to have approval for or things that you need tracking for so you can actually see when this activity actually took place, and then you can go back and track it for later insight. But also, if you want to add new features, so something like incident or service request fulfillment, where somebody might come into your IT shop and say, hey, I need a new keyboard, but it could also be that I need a bigger database or I need something else. And this is really the way that we want to enable those capabilities in a faster way inside the Windows Azure Pack, which is the portal that we want all our customers to use for cloud. So adding additional services to web in an easy and easy comprehensive way. And then lastly, support tenants from within one console. So when people are already working in the web console, for instance, creating new VM or they have a website, stuff like that, and they run into trouble, it would be intuitive for that user to actually get help within that same console where they're working with these cloud services so they don't have to go anywhere else. They just stay within the cloud console that the Windows Azure Pack portal is providing. So those are essentially those four bullets here that we want to walk you through today and show you some scenarios on how these can be achieved. So if we look at the complete scope and the life cycle of those IT services in a hybrid cloud world, we have two components. we have a service manager, and on the other side, we have Windows Azure Pack. So if we look at it, we really want to take that user experience and bring that inside Windows Azure Pack so you as an IT user really can't tell the difference. You think you're working inside the Windows Azure Pack portal, and all those capabilities that you can do from the service manager self-service portal, all those lights up inside Windows Azure Pack. So that's really how we want to introduce ITSM for the cloud. So if you look at Windows Azure Pack, and just really give you a quick idea, what does the Windows Azure Pack allow me to do, is that you can do self-service, which is really one of the key pillars of cloud. Then there's a consistent management. There's a consistent way of working with the tools that you have in there. And then, also very importantly, it provides a common identity, meaning that if I use Windows Azure Pack and I have a multi-tenant world or I have multiple domains and I want people to log in here, I can use the same identity provider that Windows Azure Pack provides and leverage that as part of this. And then lastly, usage and metering, that people, when they consume a service from me, if it's support or if it's a given IT service, that I actually want to be able to charge for those services once the user starts consuming them. If you look at Service Manager, it serves a little different purpose, but there's definitely an overlap here. Self-service capabilities for within IT service management is important, where people can go in and self-service themselves so they're not calling the help desk all the time. But standardizing and automated your IT processes is also very important. And even though, as I mentioned before, you have cloud, those needs doesn't go away because you go to the cloud. So you still need to do these things. And the easier that is for you to do that, the easier it is actually also for the user to actually go and make use of these things. So governance and control, but also compliance, that you can take some of these capabilities and move them into your cloud world as well if you're already implementing them today on-premise. So the Better Together story we have here is really that we have Windows Azure Pack on your left, and we have Service Manager on the right. And we really want to take these two components here and merge them in so it becomes one experience for those people that are using that. So the Windows Azure Pack and Web uses HTML5. It's really the new portal that Microsoft wants to provide. So you have seen, this is the first time Microsoft really has one portal that would come together with Windows Azure, System Center, and Windows Server. All going forward are going to use this framework that we provide via the Windows Azure Pack and what you see up in Windows Azure. So this is really a combined and joint work that is being done here where we go together and say, this is the portal we want our end users to use. So it's customizable, it's extendable, it has language support, multi-tenant, and it's really the one portal. So some of the benefits we see here is really that we want the tenant to be able to report incidents to the service provider. And when I say service provider here, it's really just anybody that provides an IT service. So that can both be the enterprise, but it could also be a hoster or similar. So also allow the service provider, especially if you look at hosters where enterprises might not be that interested, but hosters might, to be able to actually charge for the services that they provide. How many in here are service providers or hosters? Anybody? Okay, there are a few hands here, but I assume the rest of you are from the enterprise, but some of these capabilities are still relevant. But the other thing we can do here is also to enable service providers to offer these new services that doesn't come out of the box of Windows Azure Pack. So if you wanted to provide something on top of that, like a new CRM system to your customer or other services that we provide, you can go in and add this in here in a fairly easy way. The other thing is also that it supports multi-tenancy, which is a challenge that Service Manager had before, where if you're not in the same domain where people come in, let's say you have consultants or you are supporting people outside your own organization and they're not in your AD, this solution here actually allows you to go in and make use of the identity that Windows Azure Pack provides with multi-tenancy, and we can actually authenticate people using ADFS or claim-based authentication, which will allow them to log in even though they're not part of the domain. So request management for web, that's the solution that GridPro has built and really allows you to do a list of things. So the first one is that it allows you to make requests. So there's this request wizard style that allows you to submit either service requests or incidents. On top of that, you can also do my activities. And for those of you that know Service Manager, we have two types of activities. We have review activities, and we have manual activities. That means that a review activity is normally if I want to approve something, that Patrick gets a new mobile, and a manual activity is more if I get assigned something to do that I need to do, and go, for instance, swap a RAM in a server or a new hard drive or stuff like that. And that you can also manage from within this extension into web. And then lastly, there's knowledge management. So just to give you an idea, because what we get asked sometimes is really like, because when people see this for the first time, they go, but it looks so much like web that we're not really quite sure what is web and what is not web and what is the extension that GridPro provides. So if you see here, you can actually see that this is a web portal where you have all items. Then you have requests and activities. Those two, what we normally refer to as resource providers, is what GridPro built on top of Windows Azure Pack. So here you can see all those there, and you can also see the activities right here. So when you click on those two resource providers, that's really where the extension is that GridPro built on top of Windows Azure Pack. So here you can also see this is the service catalog that is built in as well. So anybody that has already built a service catalog for a service manager that uses that console that there is today, they don't have to do anything. It will just surfaces just like you see it here with the different categories with identity and access, and then the service request fulfillment underneath. Those will just light up. So if you already have defined those and you put this into Windows Azure Pack, you don't need to do anything. It will just show up there because it will go to service manager instance and ask service manager, so what service requests do you have that I can offer to my users. So just to give you an idea of some of the supported scenario is that either you can go with a single resource provider, meaning that you have one instance of Windows Azure Pack, and then behind that you have one instance of Service Manager. But there might also be other scenarios, for instance with mergers and acquisitions, or if you're a service provider that has many tenants, that you can actually services those by having multi-service manager instances talking to the same Windows Azure Pack. Now, this brings some interesting scenario because I've talked to some people over the past year saying, hey, we would like Service Manager to scale a little bit better. In theory, this actually means, and that's what I'm going to show you right here, scenario one, I just have one instance of Windows Azure Pack and one instance of Service Manager. But what I can do here, if I go forward with some of the other scenarios, here you can see I have Windows Azure Pack at the top, and then I have instances of Service Manager underneath per tenant. In theory, that means that I have one instance that only does incident management, and I can have another instance of Service Manager that does service requests, meaning that I can certainly scale up those functionalities to way larger numbers than I could before if I only had one instance of Service Manager. And the important thing is that when you as an end user is inside Windows Azure Pack and you see incidents and you say it's a service request, it's transparent to you that in reality it actually comes from two different service manager instances. You can see that when you're in the console, which brings some interesting scenarios to play. And you can see here we have one instance of Windows Azure Pack, and then you can actually have one where multiple smaller tenants shares one instance of service manager, that's what you see at the top, and then you have a very big customer or department, they can have their own assigned service manager instance, meaning that you can actually combine the two. So before we go into some demos here, we just want to set a little bit of stage. So normally what we do inside Microsoft is that when we sit down and figure out how we want to build things, we come up with what we can, I can do statements. So really to give you an idea on how these scenarios are going to be performed, the first one we want to introduce you to is how you can quickly offer a new service to your tenant that is not out of the box in the Windows Azure Pack. Then we also want to give an example of how you can actually support the tenants once they run into challenges with the service that they'll be providing in Windows Azure Pack, that they can actually get help right there in the console. And then, of course, also enable governance and control, where we introduce the concept of approving something before it's delivered to the customer. And then lastly, that we can build for the services and support that the company is providing to the customers. So we are using different components here. We're using Windows Azure Pack. We're using Service Manager. We're also using Orchestrator and Service Management Automation. So one thing that GridPro also built was that for those of you that already work with Service Manager, there's this what we call the Orchestrator Connector, meaning that if I raise a service request, then I can approve it, and then Service Manager can then go and call Orchestrator and execute a workflow passing on the parameters that the user provided in the self-service experience. Now, what was built by GridPro is actually an extension to that where the exact same connector was built to SMA. How many of you know SMA? Anybody? Yeah, okay. Quite a bit of hands. But those of you that didn't raise your hand, SMA is the new automation engine that is provided from System Center that allows you to do automation inside the clouds. So that's the connector that GridPro also built that allows them to call SMA directly from inside Service Manager without having to go via Orchestrator. So for those of you that are new to Windows Azure Pack, there's just a few concepts I want to explain here. So we have different areas that we talk about in Windows Azure Pack where we have what we call services. And that's really what you see in the cloud infrastructure, that down there I can provide different kind of services. That could be virtual machines, that could be databases, that could be websites, service bus, and so on. So these services here, when you see I'm an administrator, you can see that I can provide a given set of services. What I can do here is I can go in and I can create what we call a plan. And a plan will define what services I'm offering and what the quota is for those services once I provide it to a customer. Then what we do on top of that is that we have another a thing called subscriptions. A subscription is really what maps a tenant to a plan. So if I say that we have Contoso and Contoso has signed up for services like virtual machines and databases, then I merge the Contoso company with the plan, and that we call a subscription. And that is really how we can control what we are offering in a service and what the quota is that we are allowing Contoso to use within the services that we're providing. So we have the service administrator here that manages the plans. We have the infrastructure. We have the service consumers. And we have the plans where we define what is actually offered to the service consumer. And we do that by mapping the service consumer to the plan in a subscription. So I'm just going to hand it over to Patrick now. We're going to do some demos, and we're actually going to do demos for the rest of the presentation here. So we have four scenarios we want to show you here. And we want to take you through the life cycle of really looking at IT. So first, we want to enable new services faster. Then we want to do out of quota. Lastly, we're going to say who takes the bill, like who's going to pay for what I'm consuming. And then lastly, we're going to show you how you can actually go back and bill for that. So with that, I want to hand it over to Patrick that's going to show us some great demos.
Perfect. So let me just grab that. Thank you, Anders. So I'm going to walk you through some scenarios where we can show these new capabilities, or actually capabilities that are already there in Service Manager, right? So we're bringing capabilities from Service Manager over to Windows Azure Pack. Let me start with the first one there, enabling new services faster. So inside of Windows Azure Pack, we have these out-of-the-box features, right? You can go and provision new databases, websites, et cetera, and then you can manage those. Now, if you provide this portal for your tenants or your users, they will probably start asking for more pretty soon, right? So you want to add stuff on top of that, or basically you want to be able to combine things so you can make one request and you provide multiple resources in the end. So the way that you can do that now is actually to go and first of all look at the automation of stuff. How would I deliver a service? Okay, so you would do a runbook in either Orchestrator or SMA if it's not a manual process in the back end. So once that is defined, you would go to Service Manager and you would define this new offering, right? So am I going to be able to request new consultant accounts from the portal? Am I going to be able to request a complete SharePoint farm or something like that? You define that in Service Manager. You define which questions needs to be answered. The exact normal way for you guys that has been using Service Manager, you know how to add a new offering to the service catalog. It's the exact same thing. We're not doing something new here, okay? It's defined in Service Manager. You're also defining the process. Do we need an approval before this service can be offered or delivered to our users? Once that is done, you've actually also included a runbook automation activity probably within that process inside of Service Manager. So Service Manager will be able to offer an approval, kick off a runbook in either Orchestrator or SMA. You're then able to consume that new offering inside of the Windows Azure Pack portal. So this is really the big new thing here. It's going to be available inside of the Windows Azure Pack portal. So once you go and make a request, Service Manager will track that process via a ticket. It will be able to fire off that automation and deliver the new service. Okay? So let's take a look at that. How would we be able to add a new offering to the portal?
And six.
Number five, please.
Okay.
Just before jumping into that, let me just introduce the admin portal here of Windows Azure Pack. And basically, what is delivering these new capabilities? It's the request management for Windows Azure Pack. So you have a new tab here called Request Management. And we also have connections to different service manager environments. In this case, I have a connection to the Contoso.
This is what I talked about, where you could add multiple service manager instances. And that would be totally transparent to the end user. They can really see.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So basically, you can have multiple connections. You can go and add additional ones here. And once you go over into the plans, and you basically say that, OK, this plan should include the request management service, you would select which connection should be used for that plan. Okay, so everyone subscribing to that specific plan would be using that connection. You could actually even combine different connections. So you could be offering services from different service manager environments in one combined service catalog for users, if you want to go really advanced. So let's leave that. Let's head over to the scenario that I was going to show you guys. So adding a new service without coding, basically, to your Windows Azure Pack portal. Now, it's important to remember, it is extendable, so you can go and code stuff on your own to, like us, add the request management part. But if you want to add something fast and smooth, you could use the capabilities of Service Manager. So in this case, I actually have a runbook called New Consultant User inside of SMA. Now remember, this could also be a runbook in Orchestrator. So this is just, I'm using SMA instead of Orchestrator. This runbook would take care of the task of actually going and creating a new consultant account, creating an account in AD, giving that account some suitable permissions. I'm actually also going to add access for this account to be able to log into the Windows Azure Pack portal and start managing a couple of subscriptions, which I will choose when I make the request, okay? So it's a consultant coming into the company. This consultant will be working within two projects, and he's going to be able to consume quota for these two projects within the Windows Azure Pack portal. So we have that runbook there, and then we go over to Service Manager. So in Service Manager, we have the connector that we've built. This is currently running in beta. We'll be releasing it soon enough. But as I said, it doesn't matter, SMA or Orchestrator. So here I have my runbooks imported. I take one of these runbooks. I create a runbook automation activity, right? I then define a service request template in this case. So the service request template is basically saying when someone requests this new offering that we're going to define pretty soon, it's going to generate a service request ticket in Service Manager. This template also defines the process. How will this service request fulfillment process basically take place? So we have a normal review activity in here, which is basically taking care of tracking the actual approval of the request. And the second activity is a runbook activity that will fire off the SMA runbook. So after the approval has taken place, if it's approved, will fire off that runbook. So when you've defined that process, you will go over to the service catalog, and you will define a new offering. So in this case, I have my new consultant account, which is one of these offerings available in my service catalog. This is basically responsible of describing the offering and also connecting that offering to that specific template. So you can see here, I've given it a name. I have an image or an icon. I have a description. It's also tied to that template that I just showed you, so the service request template.
Because this is really just business as usual, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Something new under the sun here.
Absolutely. This is standard Service Manager. Those great capabilities that are available in Service Manager, we're now going to provide those within Windows Azure Pack, right? So this is where you define which questions needs to be answered for us to be able to deliver this service, right? So you type those questions in, you define if those are optional or required. You also define how should these questions be answered. Would it be text input? Would it be selecting something from a list? Do they need to select a date? Do they need to select some object from the service manager CMDB, right? All native capabilities of service manager. You then define the requirements for this input. So you can do things like regular expression validation on the text input. You can make sure that if they select a date, it needs to be within a range, things like that, all there for you to use. So when that is done, you can map the different answers of those questions to different properties of the service request we're going to create. So you could have a justification going into the description field of what is called the review activity, which the approver will actually be able to see in the Windows Azure Backend portal, stuff like that. And then you go and publish it. So there's actually one new thing here for you guys that have been working with Service Manager, and that is that you now have a new offering status. So you can choose to publish this with a normal published status. This means that this offering would be available in both the standard out-of-the-box self-service portal for Service Manager and the new Windows Azure Pack extension that we built within Windows Azure Pack. So if you're going through a transition period where you're going from the standard out-of-the-box portal to Windows Azure Pack, you could basically use that. Or if you only want to publish it in Windows Azure Pack, you use the Windows Azure Pack only status. So let's head over to the Windows Azure Pack portal. And I'm logged on as Trevor, who is working on Project Alpha. And he's logged on to the Windows Azure Pack portal, and he's seeing the requests and activities extensions, right? So this is where he would track the tickets in Service Manager that he has created, or someone else that is using the same subscription within Windows Azure Pack would have created, because we now have the possibility to share tickets if we want to do that.
It's like the super user where you're the IT guy in that department, or you know more about IT, and then...
Exactly.
Okay.
Or you have a small team that is working on something. They are basically using Windows Azure Pack to spawn up new servers, and they have this problem with one of the servers. Probably the complete team want to be able to track the status of that issue, right?
Right.
Now, as I said, you can choose, so that is configurable. If you want it to work like the out-of-the-box self-service portal for a service manager, you could do that. It's just basically a checkbox, and you would have that behavior. And you can have different behavior for a different group of users. So then you would only see those tickets in Service Manager where you are the affected user. Okay, so I also have the activities area where I would go and approve requests and such, and also complete those manual activities assigned to me. But then I have the new button, right? So I can go requests now and create request. And this is new. This comes with the request management for Windows Azure Pack feature. This is where I find my complete service catalog from Service Manager. So you could be able, you could be providing different offerings for different set of users. But in this case, I'm able to use the new offering that we just looked at called New Consultant Account. Okay, so on the left-hand side, for you guys that are familiar with this, I have the service offerings from Service Manager, grouping what is called the request offerings, which is what you see in the middle. On the right-hand side, I have the description of the service offering and request offering. So I select this, click Next, because I need that new consultant account, because he's coming in tomorrow. And I'm now asked to provide those details. So we're going to name this user John Doe. And he's going to be located in Gothenburg, Sweden. He has some security clearance, secret. The account needs to be active for, let's push it as far as possible. So you see that I'm not able to go further than 1 year, and that is one of the limitations that I defined in Service Manager. So I click Next, and you will see that those answers that was answered on the previous page are now collected on the right-hand side, so you can track what you filled in. I'm also going to give this consultant some services, like email, IM, and he's going to be able to access the Windows Azure Pack portal. I click Next, and I'm asked to provide a project manager here for this guy. Let's go for Jonas. Now, these are all, as I said, those native capabilities of Service Manager. This is a query result prompt listing objects from the CMDB. So that could be whatever is in your CMDB, right? Click Next. I'm asked to provide which projects is this consultant going to be working within. So I'm going to select the alpha and beta project. I read through the confirmation page. Did I make all the right input here? Yeah, that's right. I click Submit. And we now have a new service request here. So if I don't want to see all those old ones, I'm going to click Hide Closed Requests, and I now have this new. If we go into details, I can see the description of the ticket. I can see all those questions and answers that was answered during the request. I can see the status of the ticket. Are there any activities involved in the request fulfillment process? So there are two, right? We had that review activity, and we have the runbook activity. So we will be able to track the process here as the requesting user. So if I just update that, I think Service Manager should have given us a new status. So it's now in progress. And any second now, the review activity will become in progress. When that is done, we will fire off the runbook. So in this case, we have another person involved in the process. And that is the person that is going to approve this request, right? So I'll head over to Math's browser. And we will find a new review activity in here. So let's again hide those old ones. So he has this review activity that is lying there waiting for his input. Now he would normally receive an email from Service Manager telling him that you need to approve this request, right? So he goes in here and he goes, okay, I need to know the details of this request before I approve it. Click the parent work item. He goes through the input. It could have been a detailed price sheet or something attached to that. You could review that and say, that's okay. I'm going to approve this request. Now the bar goes green, meaning that we've now fulfilled the approval threshold, basically. You could have multiple approvers. One could have veto. That is totally up to you. Native capabilities of Service Manager. So if we go back again to Trevor's browser, we should be able to see that the first activity has been completed, and that will put the next activity in order to in progress, which will fire off the runbook in SMA and actually go and provision a new account. So if we click update here, you now have review activity completed, and provision new user will any second now become in progress, right? So this will provision the account. It will also make sure that John will have access to those subscriptions that Anders talked about before. Like subscription, which is tracking like who owns what inside of those inside of Windows Azure Pack. When you go and provision something, everything is associated to a subscription. And that is what can be used later on to do chargeback, which Anders will be showing you. So let's see if we have a status update here. Perfect. So any second now, that runbook in SMA will actually go and create our account. So I'm in AD now, and we should find a new account here any second. That should be called John. And when that is done, we'll move on to the next demo, which will be running or showing you how you can use these capabilities to add approval steps to those native Windows Azure Pack processes. Like, I have a set of quota, and I run out of quota. What would I do? Okay, so I can now leverage these capabilities to get some control over that kind of processes. So we can add approval steps, or multiple approval steps, and we also combine that with other things, like making an entry in a external source. It could be your HR system or your other billing system or anything like that. You would add those different automation activities to that process.
Let's cross some fingers and see if he's
there. There he is, right?
Wow.
J-O-D-O. John Doe. Perfect. Just took a bit longer.
Over to,
yeah, thank you. So that was the first scenario, enabling new services faster. So imagine you get some requirements from your users. Question?
Sorry, just ask, how do you provide the password for the user?
So the password for the user, you could use, I mean, Either you automatically generate that, you send out that in a notification email, or you supply it as input. That is totally up to you, right? Whatever you do with a runbook behind the scenes is up to you.
So I can send it back to the user for request?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can send it to, remember we defined an owner for that user, that kind of that consultant was under that guy, so you can theoretically send that email to him with a 4-character random generated password, and then he could say, here's your password, go and change it when you log in. So that is totally possible, depending on what your process really says on how you want to handle that.
Let's take another one.
Do you guys do like direct requests from Service Manager, or do you cache any database information from that?
It's direct. It's just optimized really, really much. So it's very little data that's traveling.
Just for you to understand, GridPro created a web service in between,
yep,
where this layer kind of, for those of you that know SPF, that enables you to talk to a virtual machine manager. GridPro created a similar web service that actually does the same thing as SPF does for VMM. They created that same web service that talks into Service Manager. Conceptually, they do the same job, and that one is also capable of caching information. So if it's something that somebody asked like a few minutes ago or some time ago, that would be cached in that web service layer as well. So that would make
it
really fast.
Let me just add to that. So basically, that web service is what is called the resource provider, right?
Yep.
Now, so that is what you connect Windows Azure Pick to, that web service. Now, that web service will use a connection towards the SDK service of Service Manager. So that connection is capable of doing caching. So the question was, is that configurable? Can I like increase the cache size and have some control over that? And no, that we're using all those native capabilities of Service Manager. So that is the connection object of Service Manager. It's not configurable in that way. But we have some really, really great performance. Another question? So the question is basically, is there a requirement for ADFS and Windows Azure Pack deployment to get a new self-service portal for Service Manager? Is that sort of the thing? In that case, yes, you need to have Windows Azure Pack in there, right? You could enable just this service, so you could have only request management for Windows Azure Pack to light up in the tenant portal. If you want to use claims-based authentication, you would need to deploy ADFS, yes. You don't have to do that, right? So the question was basically how much of the Windows Azure Pack deployment do I need to get out there to be able to use this? So you would basically need to have the tenant portal installed, the admin portal installed, and our resource provider, authentication sites of Windows Azure Pack.
That's about it?
That's about it, yeah.
Should we go on?
Let's move on. Okay, so next scenario is an out-of-quota scenario. So basically, the big key takeaway here is how can I use these new capabilities of the Windows Azure Pack native processes? So this is a really important one, right? Because you might want to have some more control over those processes available inside of Windows Azure Pack than you have out of the box. So the scenario is basically, someone has a bunch of quota using Windows Azure Pack to go and try to provision a new instance of one of these services. Could be a database, website, a VM, or whatever, right? I run out of quota, so I will be facing an error. Now, how would I react to that? I could either allow my tenants to go and add an add-on, like the concept of providing a package of additional quota inside of the Windows Azure Pack portal. I wouldn't have any control then, because anyone would be able to go and just say, add add-on to my subscription, boom, you have more quota. That will drive a higher cost for that tenant, right? So you might want to have an approval from a cost owner, just as an example. There could also be security reasons or something like that. So this scenario will take you to the process of someone creating a database, running out of quota, trying to get help from service desk, and getting some kind of feedback on how to solve that. So let's just jump into that. I'll explain as we go. So number
wanna
five, please.
Want to flip over to five, right?
Yes. I've been talking too long now, so I got locked out. Here we go. So into Windows Azure Pack, I'm going to log on as John Doe that we just created. Now, normally, you would probably use ADFS, and you would have single sign-on. So John was able to log on. Perfect. And as you can see, he also has access to alpha and beta, right? So those two subscriptions, he's able to manage resources for those. He's also able to see tickets related to those subscriptions, as you can see, if he clicks request. He already have a bunch of requests in here. And that is because I'm running this in a mode where I'm also sharing tickets. I'm not only sharing resources like databases, because you can also see that he has access to a database here now. Right?
So he can actually see tickets that were raised in the past that people say, hey, we did this stuff here, and he can go in and and understand what was going on.
Exactly. So if a project member have a report on an incident for a website or a VM or something like that, he is now able to track that as well. Okay, so Project Alpha has a database in here, right? Now, John is asked to go and create another database for a reason. They are going to deploy a new web application. They need this new database for that. So he goes in here, and he says, new SQL database, create database, and he goes Alpha DB7. He chooses the subscription Alpha, since it's the Alpha project that needs this resource, right? So they are the one that is going to end up with that cost in the end, right? Clicks Next, Manager 7, password. And we go and create that database. Oh, no, we got an error. So what is this error telling us? Well, basically, quota reach, no more databases, okay? So how would I solve that? I need to request some help here. So I'm going to create request. I go for some generic incident thing, alpha. So again, I'm asked who will be responsible for this in the end. So alpha, title, database issues. Says something about, we can actually use, I prepared something here. So I'm not able to create a new database. And I'm actually providing the error message from there. Like imagine your end users being able to copy out something from an event log or something, or an error message.
Otherwise, being in the same portal, right? But you don't have to like flip back and forth between multiple poles here.
Exactly. So I go add a category here. How urgent? Well, high. It's always high when a user gets to select. Some additional contact information here. Read through the confirmation. Submit that ticket. So we now have an incident here. There we go. Okay, so now someone in Service Desk will actually pick this up and start working with it, right? So someone would actually go into the Service Manager console or our web console or something else, and they would go find that specific work item. So let's just search for that. Here we go. So we have the incident in Service Manager, right? So everything is being tracked inside of Service Manager. All those native capabilities of Service Manager is being used. So they will analyze this problem, and they will, of course, see immediately that, well, he ran out of quota, so he needs to request more quota to get that add-on added on top of his subscription, so he would be able to create more databases. So basically, they are able to supply a message here, like, please request more quota. after approval, you will be able to add that second database, right? So they add that comment. John gets an email notification. Since John is still the affected user of the ticket, it's also associated to a subscription. So that's why we can have both of those modes, right? So back to the portal. And once John got that email notification, it would contain a link. Now, he goes, navigates to that portal, and he can see that comment from the analyst, from service manager, right? He's also able to add other comments like, thank you, mister. I'll try that. So you can see that there's a dialogue going on. You can actually be discussing things, adding attachments, etc., like log files or anything like that. So he's going to now go and request additional quota. Now, as I said, you could also provide the option for him to just add it, but you wouldn't have any control of that. So this is adding governance and control. So he goes to the service catalog, he goes IIS, he goes request additional quota, project alpha, next. So we're actually allowing him to select from different packages of resources, right? So in this case, he's going to select the one database. That is what he needs right now. Urgency, immediate. He needs to do that now. I'm out of quota. Some contact information. He submits the ticket. So he now has a new service request in here. This service request contains an approval step. So someone actually needs to go and approve this request. So I'm going to do that again, but not spend that much time on it, because you already saw that, right? So let's just update this. And here's the review activity. And when that gets status in progress, we're going to be able to approve this request. So I'm now logged on as the person responsible for the costs in this project, right? So he's the one that got that message from service manager saying, someone on your project has requested additional quota, and he can go into the portal and read about the request. He can also find out how much that will cost him, etc. And when he's fine with that, he would be able to go and make his decision. So he looks into the request details, and once he gets there, that will be in progress. So he's going to approve that now. Okay. And again, now we're firing off a runbook that, instead of doing something outside of Windows Azure Pack, like creating a new AD account or something like that, this is actually going to automate the administrative task of Windows Azure Pack to add a add-on to a subscription, so adding additional quota to an existing subscription. Question? So here's the thing. Please repeat.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so the question was, can we separate incidents and service requests and actually also change requests, because we're actually able to create those as well, within the portal? And no, we've actually chosen to show these as requests, no matter if it's an incident or service request or change, because this is something that we normally discuss with customers. Their end users might have a hard time to know what is actually a service request and an incident and so on. So we try to make that generic. So we call it a request, right? That in the back end, you as an administrator is able to hook that offering up to either a incident template or a service request template or a change template, actually. So it will be created correctly in Service Manager, and your service desk users will be able to work with those appropriately, basically. So a question, can I have deep links? Basically, I send out a notification email. Can I have a link in that email, which Service Manager has been responsible for creating, that will take the user clicking that link to a specific ticket inside of the Windows Azure Pack portal? Yes. As you see in the URL, there is actually a GUID there, which is the internal ID of the work item in Service Manager. So you can use that to actually create that specific link from Service Manager, and they would be able to navigate deeply.
So it actually works the exact same way as when you do deep link to the current portal today, and then you can just make a nice looking field, and then the HTTP link that you can put on that word when you fire off the notification in Service Manager would have that GUID included, and you can just put in that valuable in Service Manager. So it's really just like sending notifications today is the same concept where it would then know where to go and grab the right GUID so you get in there.
Yep. Okay, so let's move on. We made the request. It has been approved. We've fired off a runbook that will be responsible for adding quota to subscription, right? So as soon as that runbook completes, we will have the possibility to create an additional database. So I can see that that has been in progress now for a few seconds. So I'm actually going to live on the edge a bit here. So I'm going to go new, SQL Server database, create database, alpha DB.
Do you know if it's completed?
No, I'm not.
Crossing fingers.
So I get to choose the subscription since I have access to multiple. I click next, manager 4. So provide a password. Ooh. And there we have the new database, right? So we were able to use the capabilities of Service Manager to add an approval step in the process of getting a tenant more quota.
So it's highly almost self-service in second degree, right? You self-service yourself to get more self-service service in, wow.
So much self-service, right? So basically, now I'm pleased with the result, right? I got the help I needed from Service Desk. So I'm going to go back to requests and to finalize this demo. I'm going to go into that service request where we actually selected one resource package for one database. That will be updated as soon as Service Manager gets the information from SMA that this runbook activity actually completed. That will be stated as completed as well. There we go. So now the service request is completed. Now, he also reported an incident, right? And that incident, I seeked help from Service Desk, and now I don't need any help anymore. So no one at Service Desk does have to do anything more about it. So that sorted out the problem. Thanks. So I go and cancel that request for help, right? So the incident gets resolved in Service Manager, and everyone's happy. Question? No question. OK, perfect. So let me jump back to the presentation.
Over here? Yep.
Let's do that. So that was adding those capabilities to the native Windows Azure Pack processes. Next thing is, who is actually taking the bill here, right? So we've done a few different things here. We basically we created a new user. That was a service request, right? That user logged on to the portal, created a database. Someone needs to pay for that as well. Now, all of this is actually, it's also tracked in Service Manager. So Service Manager knows about all of these requests, right? So everything that is outside of the Windows Azure Pack features, like reporting those incidents, creating a service request, or even creating a change request, actually. Everything is tracked in Service Manager, right? Now, when we have that data in there, in Service Manager, that is also something that could be used to do billing. Now, to have this actually tracked or associated to something, like we have all of this data, we need to have it associated with some kind of cost center or a representation of who should be paying this. And this is where the native capabilities of Windows Azure Pack comes into play, because we have the subscription objects. Everything you do inside of Windows Azure Pack needs to be associated with a subscription. So we have that alpha and beta, right? When I created a database, I had to select which subscription to tie that resource to. When I report or make use of one of these offerings in the service catalog, I also had to choose which subscription, right? in the lower right-hand corner. If I go in here and make one of these requests, like additional quota, you see in the bottom right-hand corner, I need to select the subscription. So everything is associated with a subscription. Once you make that request, we will push down an object to the CMDB and Service Manager that is representing those subscriptions as well. So if it doesn't already exist, we will create it. We will also relate those work items in Service Manager to the subscription. So this makes it possible for us, or our resource provider, the web service we mentioned before, to actually supply information about tickets to Windows Azure Pack. Ticketing data, right? And that also is something that Windows Azure Pack can use and aggregate to other data collected from VMM or Operations Manager, other systems. So it will aggregate all of that data and make that available for the next step, which Anders will show you now.
Sure. So, the last thing is really, if you look at one of the pillars, as Patrick just said, for cloud, it talks about usage and billing, like how, especially if you're a service provider or you are a hoster, it's very important that you can actually bill your customers for what they use, because that's really what makes you take and makes you a living, right?
Yep.
So what we actually did once we when we started working on some of this, we actually contacted another Windows Azure Pack partner that Microsoft has also worked with for some time, called Cloud Cruiser. And Cloud Cruiser and GridPro started to talk together, saying, "Hey, how can we actually make these two partner solutions work together? So even though they have two separate purposes, wouldn't it be even cooler if we actually make them work?" So just a quick introduction to Cloud Cruiser really enables you to do billing for the resource providers that you have inside Windows Azure Pack. You started talking to them and say, "Hey, what would it take you guys to actually go and fetch or the data that is provided that you provide back to Windows Azure Pack in what we call the usage collector. So every resource provider you add to Windows Azure Pack, you have the options of also feeding usage to another component in Windows Azure Pack called usage collector. So GridPro was doing that from day one, also passing this information. But then after talking to Cloud Cruiser, they actually said, "Oh, if we know about this usage and any customer comes in that purchased GridPro, they would automatically go and pick up that data and show it as well." So let me show you what that actually looks like. Let's see if I can remember the right.
Yep,
that looks right. So what I'm showing you right here is actually the Cloud Cruiser console. So in here, when you log in, you can actually see, if I click here, you get an overview of all your billing information. So you can see here it's loading the data. So here you can see that I have three different subscriptions that I can see what kind of money I'm spending. One is using $417, another one is using $93, and the last one is just $9. So in here I can quickly see an overview over how much money is going through this system based on this. But quickly going over here, I just want to set the stage a little bit. So here we actually, the first thing we do when you do billing is that you have to sit down and figure out how do I want to make money, right? Or how do I want to get recovered for the services that I'm providing? So the first thing you want to do in this portal that I'm showing here is to sit down and say, "Hey, I need to come up with some prices to charge customers when they start using services." Then the next one I can then go and do is that people start submitting service requests and incidents in Service Manager using the portal. And after that, this goes into Windows Azure Pack, where in here you can manage those service requests and incidents like we showed you earlier. And then lastly, what Cloud Cruiser would then do once a day is that it would go in and talk to Windows Azure Pack and say, "Hey, what did you actually, how many service requests was put into the system? How many incidents was put into the system? Let's figure out how we can use that." So lastly, once you go and do that, you would do that per cloud, where you would go in and say, "Hey, let's summarize up what this tenant used over the past month or the current month," and then we can actually go and make a bill and send that to the customer. So what I just mentioned is that this is actually a combination of two partner solutions, first one being GridPro, the other one being Cloud Cruiser, where they actually go in and support each other on top of Windows Azure Pack. So let me just flip back here. Oh, that's not the one. This is one. There we go. So here we're in the Cloud Cruiser portal. You can see the home. I get an overview. I can see my job that ran. I can see the past 30 days. The first thing I need to do here is really to go into billing and say, hey, I need to come up with how do I want to charge for the different services that are here. And what you can see here is that you see a full list what a Cloud Cruiser put in to say, hey, you can pretty much bill on any parameter that Windows Azure package is collecting. And that's what we see here. You can see that do you want to charge something per virtual machine, or do you want to charge per disk I/O or for networking or SQL databases space and so on. What I can actually do if I scroll down here, and this is where GridPro and Cloud Cruiser start talking together, you see here that you can see there's one here called service requests. So there's service request count, meaning how many service requests do I have in there. There's also total minutes spent on a service request, and the same goes for incident management and numbers of minutes spent on incident management. And typically you would say, I mean, that's just what we talked about, that you might want to have a fixed price for the service request that you put in there. So let's say if you reset a password, you ask for $5. But in some cases, you might not want to have a fixed price for incidents, because incidents is more like if you spend 2 days fixing that incident, you should be paying more than an incident you only spent 5 minutes on. So in that case, you can actually have the option of going in and say, hey, we're going to bill you based on the numbers of minutes we spent on an incident, which we are measuring in Service Manager. And it's totally up to you if you want to do one or the other. Or you can even do a combo saying an incident, we charge $5 for that, and on top of that, we charge $1.5 per minute we spent. And it's totally up to you. So if you look here, I can actually go and click on Service Request here. And if you see, you scroll to the right here. This should just update in a second. Let's see why I won't do that. Let's see here. There we go. So refresh. There we go. So here you can actually see that I can go down here and my valuable here, I said say $0.50. So every minute I spend here, I'm going to charge 50 cents for that. And I can just save it. And it works the same way with the other ones, where I can go in and say, hey, let's do incidents request here. And there you can see I'm charging $5 for that. So what then happens is that as a customer, I can then go into my activities over here. And you see down here at the bottom, I have my cost, right? And you can see here is my cost. I spend $500 the current month, and previous month I spent $1,200. Now, this is a combo of my virtual machines, my databases, and my service requests. So if I go in here on reports and say, hey, help me understand how much money did I actually spend, let's just say, previous month here, and I want to see a detailed report over how you came up with that bill. And here you can actually see that my cost you see down here, that's the extension that Cloud Cruiser made. If I scroll down, you can actually see here that I have service request count. Maybe I actually want to give you, I want to take a current month because I have more service requests and stuff there. So let's go and fetch that report. So here you can actually see that I have my service requests, minutes spent, and counts. And here you can actually see how I come up with those numbers, that I have 12 requests. Each one of them is just 50 cents. That's going to be $6. You can see my incident request count. I had 4 requests there. Multiply that by 5, so that's $20. And here I can get a complete list of my actual cost that I have spent this month based on the integration between GridPro and the Cloud Cruiser solution, where they actually go hand in hand, and then it enhances those capabilities as well, even across. So that was pretty much the last demo we wanted to show here. We just lastly want to come up with the session objectives and takeaways. So we showed you today how you can actually take the best thing of two worlds, how we can take Windows Azure Pack, where you offer services to your tenant with virtual machines and databases. We also showed you how you can take Service Manager and take those self-service capabilities that we provide today, put those inside the Windows Azure Pack so you can actually go in and get the full support lifecycle experience inside the Windows Azure Pack. And drive scenarios we showed you today with request a new consultant that comes in. You can ask for additional quota. You can actually go and bill for the support that you provided to these tenants. So that's really the key takeaways here. So because you have cloud doesn't make your ITSM responsibilities go away, and there's actually a real example for how you can actually go in and provide that to the customers. And then again, that would also help you sort out some of the challenges that you might be addressed in today's clouds. So with that, we just want to say thank you very much for your time. We hope that you felt this was insightful. And with that, we just want to jump over to questions. You want to take that?
So basically what we allow you to do.
By the way, before you walk out, please eval. We want to have your eval. We wanted to get to that slide after the session. Please remember to eval this. We want to get your feedback. But for those of you that have questions, please stay around.
So basically what you're able to do is to use those catalog item groups that is available in Service Manager. So you can add those items to a group, right? Now, since Windows Azure Pack actually allows you to have external users, since we can use claims-based authentication, instead of use the security role concept in Service Manager, we lift that up to your plan settings. So for each plan, you can now actually go in and say, I want to limit to catalog group, which is basically saying everyone that is subscribing to this plan should be able to access these offerings. So you select your catalog item groups up here. So that is associated with the plan.
So that actually means in what Patrick showed earlier is that you, if you are a project manager and you're responsible for the consultants coming in on projects, it will only be those guys that are project managers that can actually go in and request new consultants. It doesn't make sense that the girl at the reception can do that if that's outside her scope of work.
Well, basically it's like this. You could have, as a person logged onto the Windows Azure Pack portal, you could have multiple subscriptions available for you. So you can have different plans available for one person, right?
So okay. One could be HR, and that other person could also be working in marketing. And when they log in, it's actually configurable to say if it's only that person that can see the incidents. So if you're an HR department and you don't want other people to see it because they have confidential data, for that, you can say nobody else can see it, but for the stuff you're doing over in marketing, the rest of the people in that group can actually see the other incidents. So it's configurable. It's up to you.
Now also, this is where I would select if I want to run in subscription mode or user mode. So seeing tickets where I'm the affected user or the one that are associated to my subscription. Question. No, we're basically providing the same capabilities. Now, Windows Azure Pack is adding functionality, though, because you're now able to do claims-based authentication, stuff like that. So that is there's more of added capabilities compared to the out-of-the-box port. Yes.
So the question is if you can substitute the current portal and offer actually self-service just by providing that resource provider in there. The question is to that, yes, absolutely. Another
question? Question. Yes.
You could theoretically absolutely be okay. So that would be a little bit more difficult because you can go in and modify an existing resource provider. Meaning, let's say you have the add button, then you can modify it because it's locked down. It's compiled code, that sort of thing. What you could do if you wanted to is actually you can go in and say, hey, what you're saying is if I wanted to create a database, I want it to be approved every single time. And then I actually want people to go in and maybe see that they provision a new database. Yeah, what you could do there, if you wanted to, and we actually we have done some work internally to look in how we could do that in combination with this, is that there's this example called Hello World, which is a resource provider example on how you can do that. On Building Clouds, we actually have a blog post that talks about how you can modify this resource provider to just list anything. Because once you create your own resource provider, that resource provider can then go to a database where you list all the databases that you have created, so they show up in the Windows Azure pack. But when you create your own resource provider, you can remove the add-on when you click plus, and then you want to add another database. You just hide that one because you created that resource provider yourself. And then you actually say when you go in and request a new one, you can say create that database, and then the DBA has to approve it or something like that. So there are ways to do that. They're just not out of the box, to be very clear about that.
There's one more option. What you could do is basically keep the quota as tight as possible. So basically, if they have one database, they're only allowed to have one database. So they would need to go to request new database. And in the process of creating that database, what you would do before in the automation step is actually to provide more quota, right? So in the same.
That's some pros and cons there. That might be
yes,
a little
it is,
tricky.
Yes, it is. Exactly. Yeah, you can. So that is actually, so the question was, can I brand the Windows Azure Pack portal? Yes, it's customizable and themable, actually, yeah.
Any other questions? There's one question there.
Okay, so let me repeat the question. So the out-of-the-box portal has an issue when you're basically flowing more than a certain number of objects using a query result prompt. So if you end up with a result of 3 or 4,000 objects or even 2,000 objects, yeah, you will have some problems with the experience there. So what we've done is basically to make sure that we're using server-side paging, server-side filtering, when we implemented support for the query result prompt. So you could have any number, basically. We will only flow 25 objects a time to the client side. So then you go in and search. We go back to the server side. We add that search or that keyword or what you provide on top of the criteria that you already defined in the service catalog and service manager. We do a new search, and then we only return the first 25, or, well, the page that you're on, basically. So you can do paging or searching, and it's all server-side.
Another question along the same lines. You can mark user input as optional, but if you apply a filter, like a regular expression filter, it will render this user input as a mandatory.
That shouldn't be a problem here at all. I haven't actually heard that specific scenario, but I can imagine that that should be a problem.
What was the question?
So the question was, if I got it right, if you mark a question as optional in the request offering and service manager, and you also add validation like a regular expression, you will have some user experience problems in the out-of-the-box portal, basically. Okay, yeah. Okay, so it will make that question mandatory, basically. That shouldn't be a problem. I haven't heard of this specific scenario before, so I haven't tried to reproduce it. But since this is our own implementation, basically we take all of the configuration from Service Manager. These bits has nothing to do with the out-of-the-box portal. So what you should do is go to the web platform installer and just install our add-on for Windows Azure Pack. You'll go to the admin portal. You'll click a link, come to our webpage, fill out a form, and you will get an email back where you can download the web service, the resource provider. You download that, you install that, and you're up and running for free. So we have an express license, so you can go and try this out with some limited functionality. Like we will only allow two offerings from the service catalog to flow through to the web Windows Azure Pack portal, and you wouldn't be able to approve review activities and complete manual activities. Otherwise, you could use two offerings to report incidents or track tickets or whatever. So you can try it out for free. If you want an eval key, that is possible as well, like time limited for full functionality, no problem.
So time is actually up. So if you have any additional questions, come up here after this and ask away. But with that, thank you very much for your time. Have a great TechReady, and see you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Take it, yeah.